I'm right between needing glasses, not needing glasses, and needing a telescope as you get older. So, whoa, where am I at with this? So, but before we get started, I want to, we need to pray for Pastor as he's traveling and on vacation time. It's good to let him have some R&R. He's been quite busy lately, a lot of things on his plate, and we need to pray for him that he'll be refreshed and get some relaxation and bring him back safely, him and his family. So we're going to have prayer on that. But and also we're going to be preaching on the other side, or who is your neighbor? And I think it'll find a place in each one of our hearts to what we need to be looking for and what we need to be doing for the Lord. So let's bow our heads in a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to open up your word and to study your word, apply it to our hearts and to our lives. Lord, that we can be about doing your will for our lives. So much to be done, so little time. But Lord, you leave us here still because we have work to do. Bless us only you can. We pray that you be with the pastor as he's traveling with his family, bring him back safely. We thank you, Lord, for the surgery for his dad, for his hip, that it's been repaired and fixed. And now he's in the recuperation time. And Lord, that it would go well. And give him patience, Lord, as he's not real patient on not getting what he wants. Dear Lord, bless us only you can. Be with the services, be with the word, that it would come from your throne room on high and not from me. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We're gonna start by reading Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Verses 25 through 37. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted them, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answered and said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, this do, and thou shalt live. But he said, willing not to justify himself, he said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? Jesus answered and said, A certain man went down to Jerusalem, to Jericho, and fell among thieves, and stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, and poured in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, I will come again, and I will repay thee. Which now, of these three, thou thinkest, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves. And he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go, and do thou likewise. We have, sometimes we wonder who our neighbor is. And I want us to think about the other side. I gave the message, the other side. And the first two men in this passage, their choice was the other side. It was a bad choice. It was not the right choice that they needed to make. You see, there's God's side and the other side. We need to understand just exactly which side we're on. We need to make a choice on which side we're going to serve. Are we going to serve the devil, or are we going to serve the Lord? As we see these three men that were there trying to, where this man needed help on the road, we see what happened on the first two. But it says, on God's side, there is work to be done. People to help, souls to be won, and people to lead to the Lord. And that's our job. That is our job. That's why we're here. We're still here because the Lord has work for us to do. And the sooner we realize that we have a job to do, the better off we are. There are people out there that only you can tell about the Lord. It's why did the three men, they made their choice? It was the first two, they made a choice, and it was the wrong choice. The third man made a choice. He made a good choice. He made the right choice. And why did the other two make the choice of just walking on by? Maybe it was easier. There didn't seem to have to be any work if you just close your eyes and you walk away. Though that man needed a friend, and neither one of those that should have been friendly, each one of us should be, but those that should have been friendly, the Levite and the priest, should have recognized as that a part of their job, just turned around and walked the other way. It's easier to stay home and do absolutely nothing than to sometimes to go to church and go to work and to be about doing God's business for your life. And that's what we have work to do. We have a job to do. And in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it tells us, it says, not forsaking the assemblies of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. If you look in the world today, we are seeing the day approaching where, the Lord could come and take us home now. And if that would happen, then our work is done. But since that has not happened, and the world that we see in turmoil that it is today, what is our job except to tell other people about the Lord? There are people that only you can have influence enough to tell about the Lord. That only you can tell about the Lord. That it's gonna ring a bell. It's gonna land in their life to where they can say, they're right. What are we doing about it? What are you doing about it? Each and every one of us has a job to do. Doesn't make any difference what the job is. Just make sure you do it to the best of your ability for the Lord. That's our job. It's easier not to give out tracts and go soul winning. Witnessing to others. Sometimes, the only thing we have is fear itself. it's not hard to tell somebody about the Lord. If you're saved, if you're not saved, then you need to be saved. Is that not a give? You need to be saved. But if you are saved, there's no reason that you can't tell somebody about the Lord because you have experience because you've been saved. That's one thing that can never be taken away from you. Oh, I don't know what to say. Yeah, you do. You know how you were saved. You can always give your experience with the Lord. And you own it. You know how you were saved. I got called 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning by a relative wanting to know if I was coming to church. And I said, you kidding? Well, here I am. 40-some years later, serving the Lord. And I love the Lord. And I want people to know about the Lord. And, the easiest thing we can do for people, I don't talk to people about the Lord. Tell them you're praying for them. The biggest thing is to be able to pray and tell people you're praying for them. Does your neighbor know you go to church on Sunday morning? All mine did. They could just about set their clock when I was leaving the driveway and when I was coming home. And on Wednesday, they knew what I was doing. Does your neighbor know what you're doing for the Lord? If he doesn't, he should. Who is your neighbor? Doesn't have to be the person living alongside you or behind you. It can be someone you work with. It can be your family. If your family needs to be saved, in this instance, they're your neighbor. What are you doing to make that happen? What are you doing trying to get them to where they can actually know that they have a home in heaven and that they are going to heaven? That's our job. That's our job. Our pastor's job is to teach us the Word of God so that we can know it, understand it, apply it in our hearts and our lives, and that we can go out and bring them in. What does the Bible say about bringing in people to church? Compel them to come in. Don't just ask them. Get them in here. Pastor's word is to preach the gospel. And you know, if you bring somebody in, I've always done, if I invite somebody and they come to church, I sit alongside them. Let them feel comfortable. Let them feel like they're at home, because they are at home. They just don't know it yet. Amen? People need to know about the Lord. And what better example than you being the example that you need to be for the Lord? And when they have a problem or they have a situation, they'll know who to come and talk to. That's our job. You have a job because you're still here. If not, the Lord take you home. You know, we have a lot of times in the world that we live in today where people are called on immediately for help. Who do we call on for help immediately and don't even think a thing about it? First responders, police, fire, doctors. We don't even think a thing about it. What about those that need to be saved and only you can respond and talk to? It's a lot easier not to go to work and just sit back and do absolutely nothing. But there's jobs to do. There's people that need to be visited that only you can visit. Maybe they're your family, where you work. We got youth ministries. We've got church ministries. The Detroit Rescue Mission with the job that they have. Each one of those are jobs that God put it on somebody's heart years ago to start that. And the Lord is still working through that, and the Lord is still working on me. That's what you need to understand, is that God's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. And we need to be always doing better than we were the day before. That's the thing about it is. God wants us to grow every single day, not only in His Word, but in doing what He wants us to do. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? When He has done so much for me. He died on the cross for us. He paid the sin's price for us that we could have a home in heaven. The least we could do is tell other people about what He's done for us. With a smile on your face and saying, Jesus saves. He does. There's places in the world today you could say that and be shot. We still live in, I believe, the greatest country in the world. In God we trust. We have a job to do. Jesus said, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. These little ones that come in here, they need to know about the Lord. There needs to be classes for them and teachers for them. And you know something? Each and every one of us, there's been time years ago when I had hair, me and Dottie had a junior church department in the church where we were at that we had over 120 kids every Sunday. You know something? It was hilarious. They're so much fun. You never know what they're going to say, but you know something? If we had the same attitude towards those kids about accepting the Lord as their Savior, as kids, as adults, we'd be a lot better off, I'm telling you. Suffer the little children to come unto me, forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. They accept the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, whenever I got a chance to lead one of the kids to the Lord, the very, very first thing that I did was I took them out, and I did have some people that knew that sometimes I was going to come, and I said, you know what happened to this little boy here today? Tell him what happened to you. I got saved. And they'd go home and they'd be excited, and you know, and that's what it's about. We don't have to be humdrum. You know, being a Christian, you can be excited. I like being a Christian. I love serving the Lord. You need to have the same joy. You need to spread that to others. And kids, they'll tell you about the Lord, and I say, are you saved? If you died today, would you go to heaven? Why can't we have that same attitude talking to people? What are they going to do? Say yes or no? People aren't going to hurt us because we ask them. They're surprised that you're concerned. Who is your neighbor? We all have a job to do. The other side, where all these went by and walked right by this this person that was beaten up on the side of the road. And I want to talk about that road. That road was between Jerusalem and Jericho, and there was like a 3,800 foot drop in a 20-mile area, and it was a rough road. It was one of the roughest roads in the area, and it was called the Bloody Way. Back in those days, when you took a trip on that road, going either up or down it, there was a bunch of turns and stuff like that, and you never knew when you went around the corner what was going to be facing you around the next corner. They used to pay people to guard them on that road because it was called the Bloody Way or the Bloody Trail. They used to have caravans that would go in caravans so that no one would be hurt and destroyed. So this was a road that was it was a hard road. It wasn't easy. But yet one gets hurt on the side of the road, and the priest goes by and he walks by and he just kind of looks over and he keeps right on walking by. Didn't even pay any attention. Some people's thoughts in this was because if he had gone over and touched a person in case he was dead, that he couldn't be any a part of the ministry or anything that he had to do at work for weeks at that time because his body, his hands were unclean because he had touched a dead person. Okay, but what if he wasn't dead, he could have helped him. But he walked right on by. There's the first person that just slighted and just went by, well, that's not my job. That's somebody else's job. The Levite, he goes walking by, and the Bible tells us that he kind of got a little closer and kind of, he was, you know, what's going on here? The two that should have helped him the most walked right on by without even paying attention to help. There was no help whatsoever. But let's look at this Good Samaritan. Good Samaritan walks by. Now remember, none of these three should have been by themselves in the first place. You know, Bible, you know, we need to go out two by two and have somebody alongside you. And, you know, they even tell firefighters, don't go in a building without somebody with you. Always, there's always two in, two out. Two in, two out. That's the way it is. Okay? If you're going to serve the Lord and you're going to go visiting and stuff, take someone with you. Have someone there to help build you up and kind of give you encouragement, because we all need encouragement. But we always have the Lord on our side too, but we have a job to do. There was no pleasure in the witnessing. The second guy didn't even want to look in his eyes. You know, when you look a person in the eyes and you start talking to him, it's a one-on-one. You're talking to him. But you know, if you don't look, and like the second one as he walked by, he didn't even look in his eyes. Why? Because he didn't want to have to know that the guy knew who he was. And that's what we look at today. Oh, I don't want to help him. Or we have somebody that we know that we need to help, and we don't even make any inclinations that we can help him. You know, we're here to be helpers. We need to remember that we are God's hands, his feet, his voice, his eyes. We're his helpers here. We have a job to do. We talk about the two sides of the road before we get into the Samaritan, the Good Samaritan, but we look at two sides of the road. One was the side of the road that cost those two that went by nothing. But to stop and to go over and help that Samaritan, what did it cost the Samaritan to do that? His time? Effort? Now he had, because he stopped and the person was alive, he had to, what did, what does the Bible say that he did? He came unto them, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. That's the first thing that we need to have, is compassion for others. If we don't have compassion, then we have nothing. He had compassion on him. Verse 34, it says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, poured in oil and wine, and set on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. This Samaritan had the tools with him to do the job. He was ready. The Bible says to be instant in season and out of season. Just be ready. This Samaritan was ready. He had what it took to bind up the wounds of this man that was hurt, that was laying dying on the side of the road. He could have just kept right on going, but he had a job to do. He was prepared. He was ready. He took the man and put him on his own beast to take him into the inn. And let's see what he says. Let's see what it says here. It says, verse 35, and on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. What, doesn't that sound a little bit like Jesus? It's a picture of Jesus. He took care of us. He did what he had to do. He did what the Father asked him. He died on the cross for us. And he went away. But the Bible says he's coming back again. And when he comes back, what's he going to do? He's going to repay. He's going to take us home. He has paid the price for each and every one of us. And the question was asked, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him who fell among the thieves? Which one would you want helping you? The one that just walked by and didn't do anything? Or the one that walked a little close and kind of eyed over the situation and says, you know, I don't want anything to do with this? Or the one that stopped and walked over and bent down and noticed that the person was bleeding and hurt and checked to see if he was alive and bound up his wounds and got him to where he was stable enough to put on the back of his own horse and walk him into the next town? This was all taking away from his time, but he had a job to do. We have a job to do. You have a job to do. I have a job to do. We each have a job to do. Are we doing it, is the question. In Luke 33 and 35, 33 to 35, which I just read, the Good Samaritan said in verse 35, he says, when I come again, I will repay. God has already paid, Jesus has already paid the price for us. He's coming again. Are you going to stand there ashamed that you did nothing? Or are you going to say, Lord, I did what I could do while I was here? That's what we need to be saying. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? That's what we need to be asking ourselves. We walk in this building and we walk in here to worship and sit down and be fed the Word of God. But if we don't take this Word of God and give it to other people, the only person that we've satisfied is ourselves. There's seats here that are empty. They need to be full. There's churches in all across Livingston County. We have a missions outreach from this church that is phenomenal, and I thank God for that. But we have a mission field here in Livingston County where boys and girls and kids and adults and those that are not saved need to know about the Lord. That's our job. In all the work that we do in the end of it, all the work that we do for the faith is most worthy. We need to be worthy to stand before the Lord and say, these are things in the verses that I read that are notable. First of all, he came to them. We must help a man even when it has brought us trouble. He brought the trouble on himself, but that doesn't change the fact that a lot of people bring trouble on themselves. And we need to be there to help him. Proves that he had what it took to take care of the situation. He had the oil, he had the wine to pour in to disinfect the areas that he had been damaged to where he had been left. They figured he was dead, but yet he had what it took to help, to get him bound up and to put him back on his horse. He was prepared to help in every way. I believe the man was probably a man of great wealth. Or why would he go through all that and have everything that he needed to help and then to turn around and even pay the innkeeper to watch him and take care of him? And he had enough with the innkeeper to say, when I come back, if I owe you any more, I'll pay you the rest. Oh, to be like him, to help others. That's our job. Any man on any nation, who is your neighbor? Across this whole world today, who is your neighbor? Our help must be as wide as the love of God. He cared for him that night and left the next day and said that he would be back. He had good credit. His word was true. Our word needs to be true. Each and everything that we say, everything that we do, it needs to line up with the word of God. That road was a road, I believe in many cases today we travel that road, that weary road all the time. I don't know about you, but I would want to make sure that as I traveled that road, that it was a road that I had the Lord alongside me, that I had him with me. The oven's telling a bunch of people something's going to burn. Well, you know, now maybe it's a good time to say now, you know, for those people that aren't saved and going to heaven, that fire is going to be awful cool from what they have had aiming for them. The road that they traveled was long, it was hard, it was uphill, it was a job. Each and every one of us have a job to do. No one, and I know I've said this before, but no one cares how much we know until they know how much we care. That's our job. How much do you care? Do you just turn your head and walk aside to where you don't have to be a part of anything because it would take something out of your everyday walk, or it might take a little bit out of your pocket to help somebody? If you don't remember anything, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. First Corinthians, in closing, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Now, if any man build this foundation of gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be manifested. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall every man's work of what sort it was. What kind of work have you done? Will it test the fiery furnaces? Will it come out as pure gold and silver and precious stone, or will it end up like stubble and burned and hay and just gone? In the wind, it's just gone. It's blown away. If any man's work abideth or stays with them, he shall build thereon, and he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Do you want to stand before the Lord and him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant? Or do you want him to say, why didn't you tell your neighbor about the Lord? Why didn't you tell your friend at work about the Lord? You know, he was waiting for you to ask him. We have a job to do. And the pastor can't do it all. The pastor's job is to teach us, to train us, come to Sunday school, to learn what the Bible has to say on what we need to be doing, so that if somebody asks you, you know, I got an answer about the question in the Bible. Can you help me? You know, a lot of people would say, oh, I can't get into that. Why not? Every answer that we have, every question that we have, the answer's in this book. It's here. We just need to know how to find it, what to find. What does the Bible say that we compare Scripture with Scripture so we know what it says? That's all. We have a job to do in this neighborhood, in this community, in this church, in your own family. There's people that need to be saved. What are you doing to make that family, that circle, not be unbroken in the sky? That's what it's all about. Set back this week. The Bible tells us that we enter in here to worship, and we do. But when you walk out those doors, we leave to serve. How are you going to serve the Lord this week? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. Lord, I thank you for the Word of God. And Lord, there's so much in it. There's so much that we need to be doing for you. And Lord, it tells us how to do it. It tells us why we need to do it. It tells us how. It tells us where to go to compel them to come in. And Lord, you're with us every step of the way. If we're doing what you want us to do, you are right there with us. Bless us only you can. I pray, Lord, that our hearts would be stirred, that, Lord, that we would invite people to come. And Lord, we'll tell them about Jesus. We'll tell them what they need to be saved, how to be saved. And Lord, get them on the straight and narrow serving the Lord. That's what it's all about. If we don't do anything more than to bring our neighbors to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, that is our job. Bless us only you can as we close in the song. Lord, that we'd be stirred this week, that we'd have a great fellowship dinner, thinking, Lord, all the time on who do you want me to talk to this week. Bless us only you can, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's all stand together. What's the song? 424. 424.